Yeah. Say that it is good to be saved is the understatement of the English language.
Amen.
Or any language.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. What a thing it is to be able to get together on a Friday night for this purpose, for this cause, for this reason, to worship the Lord Jesus Christ, to open our hearts,
yes,
to get something from Him.
Amen.
Amen. And Brother Ryan said it right. I go around the country, I'm in meetings. We're hoping for a revival. We're praying for it. We schedule meetings. I don't bring it. The Lord can bring it.
Yes.
But we're in places, and none of them go 10 days. This is the only church where I do that. And it's exciting to me. Amen. I had a church, just one comes to mind. It's good for use to illustrate this point. They said they were trying to get on my schedule, trying to get the meeting, and and they asked me to pray about it. And it took a couple years to find a gap when I was even on that part of the country. And I called, and I had a week set up for them. And knowing that most people take 4 or 5 days, sometimes 6. And so I called them, and I said, I've got a week open for you, and I scheduled some things around it. And the guy said, oh, wait a minute, Brother Bird and I, we can only do Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And I mean, you know, I wish he would have told me that in the beginning, because, you know, I had that whole week for them. But, you know, and they're outside of Washington, D.C., and there's a lot of traffic, and they're very busy people, and blah, blah, blah. You can make all the reasons in the world, but the real reason that meetings are abbreviated is because the flesh doesn't like this.
That's right.
Amen. And, you know, people will get up as early as they got to get up. They'll dress however they got to dress. They'll work as late as they have to work for things that gratify the flesh, like money. Amen. And when it comes to spiritual stuff, nobody else is doing it like this. And what a privilege it is. I know some of the people you got to preach here. And it's a real honor to be one of them. And so we're, my wife and I, now we have no complaints. We've been in 3 churches since we left home a week and a half ago. And we've seen God move. But we need this stuff too. We need stirred up too. We need revival too. I can bring it to you. We're going to try to get into it. Get something from God together.
Amen.
So, that being said, you don't mind that the church in Houston, St. Jacob's Baptist Church, a big, pretty big church. I mean, by my standards, 200 people is a lot. And I know your pastor knows the founder there, Brother Jack Wood. And they're having a camp meeting this week, and I stopped in there on Tuesday, and I was there on Wednesday, and I figured if I stayed long enough, they'd let me preach, and they did. As soon as they did, I left. You know? There's some folks over there praying for this meeting this week.
Amen.
There's some folks in New York City praying for this meeting this week. Amen. There's some folks in Poland and Mexico praying for this meeting. And there's a little church on the backside of Dayton, Ohio that's had a rough year. I would covet your prayers for my home church. But there's folks doing some praying.
Yeah.
And that's, I don't see any reason at all why God shouldn't meet with us.
Amen.
Don't be the reason. Amen. Yeah. All right, 2 Timothy chapter 3 tonight. And I've asked the Lord how to proceed. And he didn't give me a menu, but he told me what to start with. And we're going to trust that God will tell us day by day. And like Brother Bill said, I don't get briefed. I mean, that's the way that confound me terribly, you know. I'm not a hired gun. Amen. I don't come in and preach what the preachers want preached on. We just need something from God. So there's places that aren't like that. And I don't go to twice. I told God one time, I said, my suggestion for you is to find somebody you trust enough to get a hold of God, the minister of your people, so that only God gets the glory for what gets done instead of you. And he didn't like that, but I didn't care. I didn't go back. Now 10 years have gone by, and he's trying to get me back. And I don't have time for it. Because I don't have time for religious foolishness.
Yeah.
I need the Lord, so do you. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 1.
Was I venting just then?
Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 1, the Word of God says this, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy." That's an unholy list, and I want you to notice that God puts disobedient to parents right up there with unholy.
Amen.
Amen. Over in Romans chapter 1, you'll find it on that list there, man, of the ungodliness of a world that's not thankful. And so we might live in a world that encourages rebellion and says you don't have to listen to your mom and dad, but you do well to get a hold of what God says about it. He takes it real serious. Verse 3, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God. Man, what a list. Now, Paul has been briefing Timothy throughout the first epistle and then into this second epistle, and he's loading him up with some sound doctrine, and he's preparing him to continue on with the ministry so that the gospel can go on, because it's coming to light that Paul is probably not going to see the Lord return in his lifetime like he wanted to. And in the next chapter, he says, "For I'm not ready to be over the time of my departure is at hand," but he can go with a clear conscience that he did what he had to do to commit unto faithful men of the gospel and the truth and the doctrine so that the Word of God could go on. I'm glad it did, because 1900 years later, amen, we still have the truth. Amen. We're still waiting for the Lord to come. Amen. The world's not gotten better. Amen. He gets to this place and he says, "This know also," with everything else he told him, he's warned him about the way it was going to be. "This know also in the last days, perilous times shall come."
Amen.
I mean, just the list right there, it looks like the State of the Union message. Amen. I mean, all that stuff's going on right now in our country. And truthfully, that's the state of the world. He says some serious things. Perilous times. With the military, the rules of engagement at the place where an operator has to be concerned with whether or not he could be prosecuted for doing what he was sent into combat, trained with your tax dollars, and sent into combat to do. He's got to now factor in, wow, will I be prosecuted if the press gets a hold of this? It wasn't like that when I was in the military. I can't even imagine what incentive there would be to go into the service in a combat MOS with that condition. We live in parallel times. The Border Patrol, they do their job, they get prosecuted, sent to prison. This thing with the police is blowing my mind. Amen. We're talking about this also in the last day. Perilous times shall come. And whoever thought that, what, they're the easiest people to set up in the world. You make a phone call and say, "We got a problem," and it's always been a dangerous line of work, and they always knew that. But now you can make a phone call and get them anywhere you want them and ambush them. What? Oh, crazy, man. I never thought I'd see that kind of thing. Did you? Now we got people protesting, I mean, in such a way that they're advocating killing police, other people they don't like. I never would have dreamed that it would be within your First Amendment right to free speech to advocate anarchy. Killing me. I guess that's always been the case. I remember back in the 60s. But, amen, this targeting. Hey, we're living in perilous times. You follow me? I'm going to tell you the next verse here in 2 Timothy chapter 3. I thought that verse 4, but verse 5 says, I better go look at it and make sure I get it right. Amen. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Yeah. Form of godliness. Maybe the scariest thing about the times in which we live, maybe the thing that makes them the most perilous is the fact that the light, the spiritual light that the church of Jesus Christ is supposed to be is so dim. Can I go to a place where the testimony of the Laodicean church is a religion of greed and goods and having need of nothing, including the Lord?
Right.
I mean, they got it figured out. They don't need his Bible. They don't have his Bible anymore. They just have meetings, committee meetings, and figure out what to do to build cathedrals. And the most perilous thing about that is when the church of Jesus Christ is not preaching his gospel, people are perilous. I can't think of any more perilous than ended up in a lake of fire.
That's right.
The Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, it said this, ye are the light of the world. It says a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. In verse 16 there it said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. In these days, these perilous times, in times like these, it seems like everything except our Father in heaven is being glorified. And, beloved, it ought not be so.
That's right.
We live in wicked times. You're aware of it. We live in unsure times. We live in evil times. And it's a scary time to be a parent. It's a scary time to be a kid.
Amen.
Amen. I mean, listen, I grew up in the 60s, 50s, and the 60s with the college campus, all that junk going on, the rioting and protesting the Vietnam War and all that. And rebellion took its place in America those years. It hasn't gotten better. It's gotten worse. Amen. And look at it now. I mean, everywhere you go, and there's something high definition. You know what I'm saying? It's worse than ever. Sin's glorified. D.L. Moody's kids didn't have to put up with them. Well, let me say it like this. They weren't tempted with what our kids are.
That's right.
Well, Spurgeon's kids. Amen. The other one, Spurgeon. Yeah. And his kids didn't have the temptation that you had, let alone our children now.
Right.
In times like these, I'll tell you what, there's Christians that are backed into a corner by this wicked world and apostate Christianity to such a great degree that they're to the place that if they do have some sound doctrine about them waiting for the Lord to come, they're hunkered down somewhere, you know, holding on by the skin of their teeth, and that is not what the Lord left us here for.
Yeah, that's right, amen. Yeah.
I look at it like this. This is an exciting time to be a Christian. I mean, we're in war. That's for sure. Spiritual warfare. And but look at yourself like Green Berets or Special Operators. The Lord has left us here in these perilous times where it's not easy to take a stand for Jesus Christ, but more important than ever. So, rather than depressed over the current situation. I want to give you a few things tonight. Amen. For in times like these. In times like these, perilous times shall come. And you know, well, I mean, we're there. Amen. And it's been getting exponentially worse since it was said. And if the Lord continues to tarry, it's going to keep spiraling downward. And that doesn't change our orders one bit.
That's right.
But that's in Washington doesn't change our orders one bit. Yes. So that's what I want to preach on tonight. In times like these. Father, I do come to you in the name of Jesus Christ once again. And I thank you publicly, Lord, for the privilege to stand in this pulpit to preach to these precious folks. And Lord, I know they want to hear from you, and I want them to as well. And I want you to speak to me, not just through me. Lord, I need something from you today. I'm already stirred up and encouraged by seeing my friends. I love these folks. You know I do. And so, God, please, meet with us in the name of Jesus Christ and for his glory tonight. And I pray in that name that is above every name. Amen and amen. All right, number one. Number one, take a Bible and go to Psalm 5. Psalm 5. And we'll get a verse there in Psalm 5. And these are things to do in times like these. And this is more important than ever. It's always been important. It's a no-brainer, you'd think. But we underestimate the flesh. Amen. I mean, saved people underestimate the flesh. I've underestimated a few times. I'm glad God put me with some people that helped me get back on track sooner rather than later. The book says in Proverbs 27, iron sharpeneth iron, and so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. It's important to stick with Bible believers.
Amen.
When the flesh starts to gain some ground, you need to be around people that'll provoke you and the loving and the good works to get back lined up with God. That really works.
Amen.
Now, you're not going to lose your salvation. You can sure enough lose some things, amen, to get out of church, to get out of God's book. You get out from under the conviction of brothers and sisters that are trying to do right. You get out of touch of the still small voice of God. So that's why this is important.
Amen.
It says this in verse number 8 of Psalm 5. David writes this, "Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness, because of mine enemies, make thy way straight before my face." You know, it's more important than ever, especially in times like these, to let God lead.
Amen.
Let God lead. This isn't a salvation message. Amen. I'm talking about for you and I, in these last days, in these perilous times, it's more important than ever to let God lead. And the truth of the matter is, too many, and I'm talking to saved people tonight, and I'm talking about saved people tonight, too many, I mean, they got enough sense to get their sins forgiven. They got enough sense to admit they're sinners, but the truth of the matter is, they don't have any intention of being led anywhere. You know, some of us made great rebels 40 years ago, and then we get saved, and if we're not careful, we still make great rebels, even as Christians, even as church members. And I'll tell you what you do about that. David asked God, make thy way straight before my face. I mean, he heard the saying, don't preach to me. How many are you? Raise your hand. Amen. Okay? Nobody's ever heard that? Oh, this is a fun beat. Amen. All right. For whatever reason, you know, maybe you're not responsive. It's early. I'm David Virgin. Come on, we're friends. All right, let's get past that. All right? Every one of you have heard it just about because I just said it 5 seconds ago. That's what people say. Don't preach to me. Amen. I listen, I get in the pulpit somewhere every week, try to open the bread of life, try to speak as according to the oracles of God. I'm nobody. I'm no better than anybody. Probably worse. That's why God got me to church about 6 days a week, average. So this week, 10. 10 days a week. Okay, we'll figure that out later. Now people say, I see it, man. I'll be preaching. I don't have an agenda or other myths. I don't have a menu. I don't know what's going on in your life. But if I preach according to the way the Lord leads, I can look around and I can see people. Like, I mean, they bow up. You know what I'm saying? We use you. They get defensive. I just hear what they're saying in their heart. Who does he think he is? Yeah, preaching on something, you know, get on Facebook, half the places I go, boy, I tell you what, man, you can quench the spirit in a second. How many are afraid I'm going to do that this week? Every single night, no man, just amen. But I'm telling you something, I'm going to tell you, who does he think he is? Somebody, whether it's me or Brother Brian or Brother Bill or Brother Lindo, whoever else comes in here and preaches to you, I'll tell you what, we open the Word of God and preach.
Amen.
We're trying to help you.
Amen.
We're trying to help you. Amen. I can go to a university to learn all the little tactics to make you feel better about yourself. Amen. They kicked me out. I didn't try. Amen. But we got the Bible, and we open the Bible and try to get some help from God. We get some help from God. That's real help.
Yes.
Amen. But, you know, you got to get a hold of this thing right here. You need to let God lead. It says in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not out of thine own understanding. Why did it say that? Oh, because that's catchy. Set you up for the next verse. Kind of rhymes. No, it doesn't rhyme. It says, lean not unto thine own understanding, because, beloved, that's how we are wired.
Yeah.
And if our own understanding means rely on our experience or how we were taught, amen. And there's a place for some of that stuff. But at the end of the day, it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. If you're being led in some way that's contrary to just laying it at the feet of the Lord and yourself with it and asking for direction, he said, make thy way straight before my face. Amen. If you're doing it any other way than that, you know, well, let me put it like this. I saw a car in Alabama one time. And they don't have front license plates there. So you had one, you know, kind of the Cracker Barrel or the fireworks shop, whatever. And it said, God is my co-pilot. I've seen that all my life. I mean, when I walked, you know, you see it, no big deal. Then I got saved, and here's the thought that crossed my mind when I saw it. I said, if God was my co-pilot, I would have killed us both by now. Yeah, let me tell you something, friend. God is not going to be your co-pilot, but I'll tell you what he is. He's a gentleman. And if you make up your mind, the next verse says, verse 6 there, it says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. And if you're not acknowledging him in all your ways, if you're just trusting he'll be there in case you fall asleep at the wheel, beloved, you're already asleep at the wheel.
Yes, sir.
He is such a gentleman that if you determine that you're going to direct your own path, you're going to drive, he'll just let you. Have a nice day. Have it your way. Amen?
Yep.
Let me tell you something, man. That is a formula for disaster.
Right.
We live in perilous times. He wrote to Timothy. Paul wrote to Timothy, this know also in the last day perilous times shall come, and it's more important than it has ever been to let God lead. Most of the world's not.
Right.
Most of the Christian, I don't know, world's not. And I know we're a remnant, and I know we're a handful. Amen.
Yes.
But that makes it more important than ever that we let God lead, not less.
Amen.
Say, well, we're not making much of a difference. You know, I mean, this is nothing original, but if I borrowed one of y'all's lighters, you can get that data right around you. If I lit a match, don't offend me. Actually, I do. No. If you lit a candle, how about that candle? Lit a candle in there and held it up here, you'd see it. You'd see the little flame, right? But if you turn all the lights off, boy, you'd see that candle a lot more, right? Vividly, whatever. Candle change? No. But it just, the darker it gets. That's why, listen, you don't have to be some super duper Christian. Just stick by the stuff.
That's right.
And you'll make a difference.
Amen.
It's more important than ever. Amen.
Amen.
That we let God lead. Amen. That we lean not onto our own understanding. Amen. Let me tell you something. When you don't let God lead, whether it's your church or your family, or how about the government? Amen. Look at that mess. Amen. When you don't let in your own life, here's what happens. You can be saved, and I'll tell you what, when you don't let God lead, you get yourself bogged down again. Whether it's your church or your family or yourself, you get yourself bogged down with struggles that are unnecessary if we just let him lead. I tell you what, that is the thing that is preventing the Church of Jesus Christ, the true born-again believer, from having the difference and the impact that we could have in this lost and dying world. We're too hung up on infighting and baloney amongst ourselves.
That's right.
I've seen some things this year that I never dreamed I'd see, and some churches, good, solid churches. I've seen some churches explode. Mm. And boy, there's been some hurt feelings, and I'm going to tell you, it's amazing. And God's not the author of that.
That's right.
We just learned to let God lead. In perilous times, in times like these, there's no author on that day, perilous times should come. And we could just let God lead. Wouldn't we be better off?
Amen.
I'll amen myself. I'm
amen.
And okay, number two. Now, in times like these, more important than ever, to learn the Bible.
Amen.
I know. We've got the King James Bible, the inspired, inerrant Word of God.
Amen.
Okay. Now, you need to move it over, however far that is. Amen. Bible says that word if I hit my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Beloved, it's more important, not less important. Listen to all the last day perilous signs to come. It's more important than ever to learn the Bible. Alright? Here. This is what happens if you don't. This is a cover. Make sure they're not wicked. Cigarettes? I don't know. I'm doing it. The guy eating ice cream cone. This was a Time magazine cover. I don't even know. October 9th, 2006. And it was, it says, how we became human. The age-old question. Leave it to Time magazine to answer that. So, I always wanted to know. So I bought it. I bought it. And I didn't. Yeah, okay. I didn't read the article, actually. I just wanted that picture. Amen. And then when I opened it up, I got this picture. Now, I don't have anybody on my family tree that looks like that. But the article was entitled, What Makes Us Different? Well, I'll tell you one thing that makes me different from whoever wrote this article. He's an idiot. Amen. It does not very much when you look at our DNA. Amen. You know what? Listen. You got a Bible. I got a Bible. And some of you grew up and were taught right. But I'm going to tell you what. There were a couple of generations deep in people being taught that that's just reality. Yeah. In a lost and dying world, you know what they do? They'll see that and take that article home or watch a special on one of those cable channels. Amen. And that's gospel. I've had people try to argue with me on Bible issues, whether it's creation or what. They saw a special on Discovery Channel. I'm like, really? Are you listening to yourself? Amen. Let me tell you something. Listen, also on the last day, perilous times shall come. We agree we're there. We know we're there.
Yes.
I'm saying we're there. That's enough.
Yes.
Amen. But it's more important than ever. I need to pray, Lord. If you're not saved, you didn't get saved.
Amen.
But if you're saved, we're left here to make a difference, aren't we? Yes. Okay. Amen. I'm going to look at my notes and see if you guys don't respond there, or I probably wrote it down. Okay. I don't care. Amen. But it's more important than ever to just learn the Bible.
Amen. That's right.
There's more to it than just knowing it's the Word of God.
Right.
Amen. Okay, so take your Bible now and go to Hebrews chapter 4. So, point number one. Let God lead. This is deep stuff, isn't it? Oh, yeah, this is rough. No, this is where I live. Just simple, straight, put the cookies where the kids can go. Amen. I'm one of his kids. Amen. I took this, and nothing you haven't heard many times, no doubt. Whatever I said, I meant Hebrews chapter 4. So if I said five, you're close. Don't worry, we'll get there. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 12. We're talking about learning the Bible, and here's what it says. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. quite a resume right there. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow. It is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You know what the word discern means? It means the ability to determine appropriateness. You know what that means? That means when you're reading the Bible, it's reading you.
That's right.
It's a discerner. It's able to determine what your motive is, thoughts, and intents of the heart.
Right.
Amen. That's a powerful book right there. And he's given it to us. And it tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And just about probably the majority of all the problems that exist in the Protestant religions or Christianity it comes from not rightly dividing the word of truth.
Right.
Amen. And so then I guess, and I can't verify this, but what I've been told, and every time I've had a chance to look, I don't have a vast collection of perversions at home, and if I did, I'm not home anyway. But I've been told, and don't have any reason to doubt, that word study has been taken out of all the non-King James Bibles. Well, who would be behind that? The devil shows up in Genesis chapter 3 as the most subtle beast of the field, and the first thing he did was question what God said.
That's right.
Yeah, God said. First question mark in the King James Bible.
Right.
Somebody said, well, what's the first question mark in the NIV? And I said, who cares? It's not your problem. Amen? The devil showed up and began to question the word of God. And he hasn't even had any real reason to change that tactic that's been working so well for so long. Amen? And I tell you what, if you don't study to show yourself approved unto God, you don't have to be a theologian. You don't have to have a big high IQ, obviously. But you can open that word of God and go to God and say, show me things. And amen. You get familiar with your Bible and it. Well, amen. The more you rather divide it, it becomes alive. Amen. Things make sense. People get bogged down because they can't figure out why it says this here and that there. And then they just give up. You learn to rather divide. Figure out who's talking, who they're talking to, and what they're saying. And it's like, oh, wow, okay, I understand why it says that there and says this here. Because it's talking to a different crowd.
Yeah.
Amen. That's not hard.
Amen.
Okay, where'd you learn it? You got it. To show myself approved unto God. You know what you've got? When it comes to that Bible, you can study it or not, and you have the option to be either approved unto God or ashamed yourself.
Yes.
Yeah. More important than that, to learn the Bible. Amen? More, in times like these, parallel times, it's more important than ever. Now take your Bible, go to Hebrews 5. I really mean it. I think. Hebrews chapter 5, look at verse number 13. Yeah. 5:13, the Bible says this. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Right? So the word of God is referred to as milk for a young Christian, for a baby Christian. The context is the word of righteousness. Right? Verse number 14 says, but strong meat, also referring to the word of God.
Amen.
Strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. Amen. A little maturity. Amen. A little bit. You're going to grow in the grace and knowledge. It's going to be saved, but it doesn't stop there. It starts there.
Yeah.
Verse 14 again, but strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of youth. What is it talking about? The word of righteousness. The context is the Bible. I'm telling you, to learn the Bible, it says even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern. There it is again. Both good and evil. I had a person trying to say, well, Roseburg, I don't see anything wrong with that. And I mean, they've heard some preaching, they were, should have been under conviction, but their flesh didn't like it. They just said, well, I don't see it that way. I don't see anything wrong with it. And do you know what the truth is? And listen, there's some gray area in the Bible. I get that. We've been guilty through the years of making bigger things that out of some things than God did. But listen, beloved, don't you throw the baby out with the bathwater if you don't have the relationship that you need to have as a mature Christian with your Bible. You do not have the ability to know right from wrong. When that person told me that, I said, you know what you're doing? You're just telling on yourself. It's obvious that you have no relationship with the Word of God, whatever the subject was at that time. Something real clear, nothing gray about it. Hey, whatever amount of faith is sin, everybody here to know if they do right and doing it not, it is sin, man. That's not gray area.
That's right.
But I guess you don't get your Bible. You follow me?
Yes. That's right.
Now again, let me, the disclaimer I guess needs to go out. You're saved. I'm not saying you don't love Jesus, but I'm trying to tell you, I'm trying to give you some things here that'll help you stand in the evil day, and that's where we live. Didn't know also the perilous times shall come.
Yes.
Let God lead. I know you're smart. I know you have a lot of experience. God will still do a better job leading than you will.
Yeah, that's right.
Good thing you said something. I was going to amen myself there. And number two, learn the Bible. Learn the Bible. We've got the Bible. You don't have to go to a priest to find out what God wants. You don't have to go to a priest to get right with God. He's given us the inspired, inerrant Word of God, the English language.
Amen.
So, what are you doing with it? I know you Bible believers here. Amen. I know. But I gotta say it again. There's more to that. Just having another coffee table.
Right.
More to that. Reading a proverb a day. Lines up with the date. That's fine. I do it. But there's a little more to study than to show yourself approved unto God than that.
That's right.
And it's more important than ever that, I don't know what Joel Osteen's crowd does. I don't know. I don't care. I can't affect all that. But I know what we're supposed to do.
That's right.
Let's get a hold of Word of God. We're going to learn the Bible. And more important than ever, not less. And how about this? How about let's get back to laboring for souls.
Amen.
Laboring for souls. Now, that word labor, and you know what that means, right? It means work.
Yes.
Amen. It means work at it. Listen, America really is the land of opportunity. And it is still true that if a person set their sights on something, if they're willing to work at it, if they're willing to work, make sacrifices, they can make something out of themselves, they can set their sights on something and they can get it.
Yes.
They say, yeah, but America's messed up. Well, I don't know if you've visited any other countries lately.
Right.
Because it's still better here than anywhere else in this regard. And I'm telling you something, it's time for you and I, regardless of whatever the else good, it's time for you and I to get a hold of the fact that we need to go to work.
Yes.
To get people to our Savior. If the Lord that is not willing, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, that any should perish.
Yes.
Any. Yeah, that comes from the old English word, any.
Yes.
Amen. But don't let that neighbor, don't let that weirdo, don't let that co-worker die and go to hell because you didn't care enough to give them the gospel. Amen. I don't like what a lot of people do, but I probably came from the crowd that can be said of me. I don't want to see them go to hell. Because Jesus Christ cared enough about my soul. The Bible says that God committed his love towards him. While we're yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Amen.
We need to get back to laboring for souls. And it occurred to me this right here. In Luke chapter 19, Jesus said, occupy till I come.
Amen.
Occupy. That word, you know, occupy. Occupation. That really means occupy a lazy boy in front of a big screen TV. And I marvel, they can't keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Amen. I don't even know what I mean. I couldn't even get what I'm in there. Somebody said, Brother Burton, didn't you have big screens when you were a kid? I said, yeah. Call them drive-ins. Amen. And I'm talking about before you can tune it in on your FM radio. Because we didn't have, did I give my age away? We didn't have FM radio in cars back then. And I had one of those nice little drive-in speakers in my garage. Okay, I shouldn't. I mean, you know, for a dollar to get in, you might as well. Okay, let's move. I have law. What's your excuse? When the Lord said, occupy till I come. And then he's not talking about a lazy boy. He's not talking about a desk chair in front of him. You hear me?
Yeah.
It's not what we're to occupy. I'm going to tell you something else. I'm not talking about occupying a pew somewhere a couple times a week.
Right.
A little check mark. Got that done. Now we can get back to doing what we want to do. This is what you're supposed to want to do. Get fed and filled and direction so that when you leave here, you're aware when the Lord sends opportunity your way. I'm not talking about standing on a freeway and throwing tracks at cars. I'm not talking about foolishness, but we ought to be able to use our brain and be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and equipped, whether it's the Word of God within us and then whatever, gospel track, things like that. And when the Lord opens the door, He opens doors all the time. But you got to be looking for them. You got to be sensitive to them. Amen. And guess what? You'll spend some time making a difference for the sake of the gospel. Everything doesn't have to be a scheduled so many night or street preaching event. I'm talking about every time you go out in public, man. There's opportunities everywhere. I go to Harley shops. And I walk around, and I walk around amongst the motorcycles, and I think rocks out guys are there, hang on, and I'll comment on something about their bike, because I know about them, and people will turn, well, yeah, oh, thanks, man. I'll say, hey, can I give you something to read? I give tracks out of Harley shop to the roughest characters you ever saw all the time. Policemen, you know what I tell cops? I go to the cops and I say, I want to thank you for what you do because God used the men in your profession to put me where He could get my attention.
Amen.
And I want to thank you for risking your life because I tell them, I know what kind of idiots there are out there.
That's right.
And I wasn't even scratching the surface for the kind of idiots there are not. But I say, I know what kind of idiots there are out there because I used to be one. And I never had a policeman take a track. I stopped in Columbus, Georgia, and I saw a police car at a donut shop. This is a true story. This is a true story. Because I didn't go in there for a donut, honey. I promise. Man. That's good. And I just wanted to, and the policeman is like, and I'm like, excuse me, and he's like, and I, yeah, it's anyway, times like these, we need to let God be. At the end of the day, it's all about Him. And I know you're smart, and I know you're spiritual, and I know some of you have done a lot for God through the years. I'm not taking any of that away, but I am going to tell you without apology that on your best day, God will do a better job leading your life than you will.
Amen.
Amen. And it's not getting easier to be a child of God. Amen?
That's right.
And it's not getting easier to make a difference. Some of you know within your own families. Some of you got kids in places you never dreamed they'd be. I know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Amen? So it's more important than ever that we let God be. More important than ever that we learn the Bible. More important than ever that we labor for souls. Amen? I got more, but I got to get back over to remember what it was. Now, Hebrews chapter 12. I'm almost done. Which doesn't necessarily mean anything from evangelists. No, little know this. It says this in Hebrews chapter 12. All right, let's begin with verse number 1. The Bible says, wherefore, seeing we are Wherefore, seeing we also are come with the battle, so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now you gotta wait, amen, and you gotta sin, and you gotta race, amen. That law preached, but I want you to look at verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I tell you what is more important than ever. We need to get our eyes off the storm around us and the situation and look for Jesus.
Amen.
Yeah, that's what we need to do. We need to keep our eyes on the Lord. He endured the cross. Okay, he didn't look forward to that anymore than you and I would. And despising the shame, it goes ahead and says, and then it says, for the joy. Now, what possible joy could have made that worth it to the Lord? And the joy that that he got the day you bowed your heart and got saved. It says in Luke chapter 15, there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repented. Amen. And so that was the joy that he got. He went to the cross. When a person gets saved, they justify the sacrifice Jesus Christ made.
Amen.
So I'm telling you, it's more important than ever, not less, to look for Jesus. M. R. DeHaan had a wooden thing on his desk, a little thing like, a lot of times you go into a preacher's office, you know, probably Bill's got one, and it says, Dr. Bill, King Hagen, you know, real fancy, or Ryan, probably got one too, they have the name next to them. And, you know, but if you get called, you guys even have offices, I don't know, maybe it's on the dash of his truck, I don't know. But, you go in and you gotta sit there and like get counsel, or like whatever it is I got. Oh, in trouble. Young, lucky. And it'll say their name, you know, in case they forget it when they come to work, I guess. Oh, everybody, Hahn, he had one of them, little triangular wooden things, and it said these two words on the plate. As he come in the door, and there's his desk, and there's his bookshelf. He walk in the door, and he walk on his desk, and every morning when he walked in and looked at his desk, it said on that thing, perhaps today. That's how we need to be living.
Yeah.
That today could be the day.
Amen.
And if we look for Jesus, I'm going to tell you what, it changed how we live. Well, let me make it real simple. If you knew Lord is coming back tomorrow, Monday, whatever, any given day, what would you do different between now and then? Different than what your normal schedule. You plan, okay, I'm going to be back here tomorrow night at 7, then I got to go to the grocery store, or got to go Gander Mountain for you, probably, and I got to, you know, a church is on Sunday. But if you knew the Lord's coming back Monday, was there somebody maybe you'd go visit that you're not planning to? Would there be somebody maybe you'd go invite to hear the gospel? Like been said by these men, tomorrow night or Sunday, would there be somebody you'd pray more fervently for? You follow me? Well, why don't we just live like the Lord's coming back soon? He's going to just log in and into our knowledge, you know, oh yes, I'm ready, you're really ready. You know, somebody's not. And I'm talking about it's more important than ever in times like these for us to look for Jesus.
Amen.
And he's coming.
Amen.
Amen. He's coming. Amen. I tell you, I can tell. I have proof here, kind of. Here's an article printed off the. This is this guy is not the president of Iran anymore. Muhammad, whatever, Ahmadinejad. I used to call him the Aquabelva man because I really thought, you know, he'd be in and out before I ever learned how to say that. I heard it on the news so many times. What a jerk, right?
Yes.
Thank you. And you know what? You know what this guy's problem is? His mom named him Muma. They're looking at him, dude, you laugh. Anyway, here's what he said. Israel's destruction is getting close. And they're talking about it all the time. So the Palestinians and the Arabs, and that's their goal. Amen. And now they're coming to a place where Iran's going to have an atomic weapon and a nuclear bomb soon, and they're going to try to, they're not going to do it. They're not going to get away with it, but I'm saying this. When I talk about look for Jesus, when I'm talking about the rapture coming, when all the pieces are coming together where they might actually pull it off, that just tells me this thing's almost over. You know what? They're not going to pull it off. And I have not so secret information.
Yeah.
Well, you got a Bible?
Yeah.
Are they going to destroy Israel?
No.
Lord's going to come back for them. Amen. But we get in a lot of neat things because of them. Amen. It's more important than this than ever to live up for Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Now, that's going to be exciting for us when the trumpet blows. Are you going?
Amen.
Yeah, I was going around last year saying that word Trump shows up two times in your Bible. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And both times it's a direct reference to the rapture. So I love hearing it. I love seeing it on them buildings. Because that makes me think of the Lord. Not a political statement. I want the Lord to come back.
Amen.
And it's going to be me. Isn't that going to be cool?
Amen.
You know what I want to see? I hope I have the presence of mind to look back over my shoulder at my lamp and see these things actually laying in a pile on the ground. But as exciting as that is going to be for the child of God, that is going to be the scariest time on the planet for those that are left behind. And these perilous times, they're nothing compared to what's coming. And I'm glad I'm not going to be here. Amen. And if I can help somebody else not be here by telling the truth, I don't want to go empty handed. You follow me?
Amen.
So, in times like these, we need to what? We need to let God lead.
Yeah.
Amen. He'll let you lead.
Yeah.
He's a gentleman.
Yes.
But he'll do a better job.
Amen.
Need to learn the Bible. And you can. I say, wow, did you learn? There's so many things in that Bible I don't understand. I mean, I read through it, and I'm thinking, I'd be a fool. I know preachers that won't admit there's things they don't understand. I've been in the presence of preachers and someone would ask them a question, and they'll make up something because all you got to do in this world, appear smart, is just act like you know what you're doing. That worked for me when I was lost.
Yeah.
And I'm going, I'm talking, and I've even talked to preachers later. I said, wow, I thought that thing. Well, you know, and I said, what I meant, they don't know. Man, I'm going to tell you what, I wouldn't make it very long trying to pretend I know everything. I don't. But I'm going to tell you what, I know enough. Keep me busy.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
If you can master that book, would that mean that God's no smarter than you are? That would be scary. I expect that my God's a lot smarter than you are.
Amen.
And definitely me. We need to learn the Bible. We have the Bible. Right?
That's right.
Times like these. We need to labor for souls. We need to look for Jesus. And last of all, Revelation chapter 3. I almost said 30. I go to churches where they have started turning church. I don't think you guys. Revelation chapter 3, the Bible says this, verse number 20, Lord speaking, saying, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. Can I say to you tonight as we begin this meeting, and I'm not questioning whether or not you're saved or not, but we live in perilous times, crazy times. If within the honesty of your own spirit, you would admit yourself that he's on the outside. Could I say to you, let a man do it. Just let a man. You do not have to fight this thing for 1, 2, 4, 5, 7 days and just finally surrender to whatever God's dealing with you about tonight. Amen?
Amen.
If he's dealing with you about something. I know over the course of the week preceding up this, these men preach to you. If you've got something going on in your life, if you're saved, fine. But if you're not walking with the Lord, if it seems like he's on the outside, you want to have a good time this week, you want to have a good time living for, let the Lord back in.
Amen.
Retrace your steps.
Yeah.
And you'll figure it out. When I lose my keys, you know what I do? I retrace my steps. Where was I? What was I wearing? I'll go through. And I know I find them. Almost. It's the same way with us. And we get saved, and we walk with the Lord. We have the joy of our salvation. And we have fellowship with God. And we're enjoying coming to church. And we're enjoying singing the old hymns. Amen. And we like hearing testimony reports of God working in lives, saving souls. And then if you're not careful, that stuff just kind of gets, that's what the flesh is taking over.
Right, yeah.
When that stuff's not exciting anymore, and it starts to become grief. I'm here to tell you, like, that's why you have meetings. That's why you have church, because we need a dose of Bible preaching weekly.
Amen.
But every once in a while, we need to concentrate it, put everything, put the world on the back burner. Don't worry, your problem will be there when the meeting's over.
Yeah.
But you might get something from God in the next 10 days to make that burden easier to carry. You might get something from God where you end up going up back to your old life going, what was that again? You don't even remember. So if God's already been dealing with you about something, could I encourage you? Address it.
Amen.
Say, yeah, but if I address it now, the next 10 days, don't worry, all that's got to give me something else to beat you up about. But man, why would he give you anything else if you're not going to respond to what he's already dealing with you about? Let him in. I've said if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Somebody said, well, does that work? It's been working for me for 26 years.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
The secret to getting right with God is this right here. It's as easy as it was to get saved in the first place. And in reality, it was easy. It didn't seem easy on the other side of Calvary. But once you got it, right?
Yeah, that's right.
You went, wow, that's it? I had to get honest with myself. You're a sinner. Honest with God and ask for forgiveness. It's the same way getting saved. You can be saved and have sin in your life. You're going to have to get honest with God. And then it says, we confess our sins. It's your move, sinner friend. Saved sinner friend, he's faithful and just.
Yeah,
amen.
Right. That's right.
Yeah.
Perilous times. This know also, he wrote to Timothy, this know also the last day, perilous times shall come. Crazy times. I mean, aren't you seeing things you never thought you would?
Yeah.
I mean, in the church, too. Amen. I mean, in the church as a whole. So let me ask you, you do what that asks you, who's leading in your life?
Amen.
Be honest with yourself.
Amen.
Who's on the throne? You or him? It's not a love secret. Not you and him. One of the other. How's your relationship? True? How's your relationship with that book 500 years ago? People were burned at the stake for concealing portions of so that you and I could end up with a King James Bible.
Amen.
Now we give them around away as Christmas presents, and you don't and I don't, but a lot of people do. You follow what I'm saying? No, that's okay. People gave their life for that book,
right?
And all we have to do is study it a little bit,
right?
And if you would,
It'll create a thirst in you that'll help you study more.
So how's your relationship? What are you laboring you have to get people saved?
Well, I'm coming to church.
That helps you. Amen? I support missions. Are you praying for these guys to go out? Have you ever considered that you work with somebody, you live next to somebody? You hear me?
That's right.
Let's maintain a personal testimony on the off days might cause somebody to inquire about our Savior. And let me help you make it easier for you. There are no off days for a child of God. You've been bought with a price.
Yes.
This isn't a weekend warrior thing.
Yeah, that's right.
Christianity might be for some, not us, not Bible believers. And our book said, who much is given of him should much be required.
Amen.
Now that's hard if you make it hard. But it's not hard if you just get in. So ask yourself that. What are you laboring at? And just a reminder, did it occur to you today? Listen, I had a plan today to go, and I'm going to tell you what I got this morning, and I did not even think about today the Lord's come back. I'm confessing. And I'm not the only one in this room didn't think about today. But we ought to be.
Yeah.
Because it could. Amen?
Amen.
And I'm not saying that. I'm saying that to just maybe provoke you a little bit to live in light of it. If there's somebody that you got a burden for and somebody you need to witness to again or whatever, invite to church. This would be a good week. Like I said, a lot of excuses are down the drain when you're going to church on Tuesday, Thursday, right? Boy, if we just lived in light of maybe the Lord's coming back, get the flyers. Take advantage of it. And if he's on the outside, not a man.
Amen.
You'll be so glad you did.
Amen.
We act like we're doing God a favor. He liked doing you a favor.
Yeah,
let's close the gap. Let's get something to give us some spiritual strength for the days and weeks and months. And I cannot bring myself to say years until he comes back. And it may be. It is a business. But it helps me to think hard, to maintain the idea that time is short.
Amen.
It helped me live for him. It helped me too. Alright, so let me say this and I'll get out of the way. If you're not saved, you made it in here on a Friday night, flat out, it's easy, you need to get saved. Same way as a Christian gets right with God. Let him in. Let him in. On the outside knocking, let him in. He knows all about you. Amen.
Amen.
The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Right.
He made it easy.
Right.
Religion makes it hard. People make it hard. You need to get honest with yourself. In a jail cell, 26 years ago, looking at 30 plus years in federal prison, preacher came and said, I don't know what you're locked up for, but you die in your sin, you got bigger problems than that. And I remember thinking, thanks for cheering me up, chaplain. But the Bible said you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
Right.
And I didn't like that guy. I didn't like his haircut. I didn't like his tie. But I sure appreciated him having the courage to tell me the truth.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I admitted I was a sinner. And I asked the Lord to forgive me. Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, died for our sins, according to the Discovery Channel. No, it doesn't say that, does it? It says, he died for our sins according to Scripture, and was buried and rose again the third day. According to Scripture, I'm in a lot of different churches, a little different beliefs here and there, but at the end of the day, we go back to this.
Amen.
Amen. That's my cross.
That's right.
And people want to go some other way, they can go without me.
Yeah.
But I'm interested in according to Scripture.
Amen.
Amen.
My Bible says Jesus Christ gave his life. The book says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Amen.
And I got a hold of that one day.
Me too.
And I said, Lord, if you'd have somebody like me, I'd be a fool not to get in on this.
That's right.
See, that doesn't sound very spiritual. I wasn't very spiritual. I was a sinner, man. I had a doctorate degree in it. I wasn't just a CAG in a weekend center. I would work CAG. When I found out what that book said about hell, and everything that I wanted to believe about hell, and everything the movie said, and everything that the rock songs said, and all that thing at the funerals of all my club brothers, I'll see you in hell, brother. When I saw hell in light of the Bible,
right.
I said, oh, there ain't no partying going on down there.
That's right.
My friends don't want my company down there. That rich man didn't want his brothers to come.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
And the best way I knew how. And I didn't even know the word saved. But I knew the word forgiveness.
Yeah.
And I asked for it. And I got it. And that's what it's talking about when it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're in here tonight and you're not saved, say, Brother Bridget, it's Friday night and everybody in here is saved. You may know that. I don't know that.
Right.
I'm an evangelist. I'm going to give an invitation every time I preach.
Amen.
I'm not taking anything for granted. I've seen church people get saved.
Amen.
Well, I've been in church all my life. I was baptized when I was 3. Yeah. Hope you took more than one bath in your life, because that's all it is.
Yeah.
If you're not saved. The book also says in Revelation chapter 20, whosoever is not found written in the book of life is cast into a lake of fire.
Yeah.
The book of life, that's the record of those that called upon the name of the Lord. Have you? Hope you have. If you haven't, Friday night would be a good night to get saved. Friday the 13th! Yeah, we used to celebrate that in the old days. Guess what? I still do. At least this one, because we get to start our meeting.
Amen.
Amen? What a good night to get saved if you're not.
Amen.
What a good night to get right with God if you're not. I know you're here. Let's make it personal. And between you and God, I don't care how you do it, where you do it. You can go lay down that baptistry out there. I don't care. God. Father, I love you, and I come to you in the name of my Savior. Thank you for the privilege to preach. Lord, I believe the best of my ability, but you did much. I said what you wanted said. And I do believe the Holy Spirit's working on hearts in here tonight, and I trust and pray that your people got something, one of these areas that'll help them. And that's our desire and goal. And Lord, if there's someone in here that's not saved, not sure, I pray you would work on their hearts, and he calls them to inquire with a Christian, with one of these preachers, about more information, whatever, Lord, please. I pray that no one in this room ends up in that place that you prepared for the devil and his angels. Thank you for grace. Thank you for love. Thank you for mercy. Thank you for a country that still allows us to meet like this. Help us to redeem the time, because it may not be like this forever. I don't know. But I know this. You've been good to this old sinner. And I thank you for it. In Jesus Christ's name, amen and amen.
Amen.
All right.
Let's stand and turn to number 235.